The Gospel according to John, chapter 10 and verse 9. John 10, verse 9, these words, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And our subject this morning is the door of salvation. The door of salvation. Well, dear friends, these are tremendous words. This is one of the many I am sayings that are to be found in the Gospel according to John. And well, indeed, if you have been following the Sunday school syllabus at the present time at East Dulwich Tabernacle, you will know that the Sunday school children are following exactly this series, the I Am Sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that this Sunday school lesson today is I Am the Light of the World. And that's a tremendous I Am Saying of the Lord Jesus Christ. But many other I Am Sayings were uttered by the Lord. I am the bread of life, for example, in John chapter 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Many of you will know those words very well. John chapter 14. I am the true vine, the Lord Jesus Christ said. John chapter 15. And of course, on one occasion, the Lord Jesus Christ in this gospel says simply, I am. I am. In John chapter 8. And well, that is very significant. He hasn't made an error in not finishing the sentence. When the Lord Jesus Christ simply says, I am, he is saying something very significant about who he is. Who is he? He is God himself. I am, that is the name that God gave to Moses in the Old Testament. Moses asked the Lord, when I appear before Pharaoh, who shall I say sent me? What name shall I give for the God of Israel? And the God of Israel said, I am that I am, Jehovah, Yahweh. That's what it is in the Hebrew, I am. So when the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament gives himself that name, I am, he is saying, I am God. I am the God of the New Testament. I am the God from everlasting to everlasting, the eternal Son of God, God with us. I am the fulfillment of the prophecy in the Old Testament. And he was affirming his divinity. And well, he affirms his divinity in so many places in this gospel particularly. Why? Even if you were to look at verse 30 in this very chapter. Verse 30 of chapter 10, I and my Father are one. The divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the best gospel, by the way, to point out to people the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where does the Lord Jesus Christ say that he is God? Well, he says it in this gospel several times. I and my Father are one. And well, this is just one of the glorious lessons that we can glean from the great I Am sayings. And well, in the first half of this chapter, there are two I Am sayings. The first one is I am the good shepherd. We read that in verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. He is the good shepherd. What does that mean? Well, the context of this chapter is a parable of how a sheep, well, when a sheep comes, when a shepherd rather comes to his sheep, the sheep will always hear his voice. They will not hear the voice of a stranger. The sheep only hear the voice of the shepherd. And well, that is a parable. An illustration of how the church will always hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one we obey. He is the one we follow. We don't follow the words of the world, what man says, the opinion of the world. The world does things one way. Oh, shall we listen to them? No, we will not. The church, Christian people, we listen to the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. We obey his word. And when we do that, well, then we will follow him and we will be led in the right way. We know that we are going the right way because Christ is the good shepherd. So that's the other I am saying that we see in chapter 10. I am the good shepherd. But then we read in verse 7 and in verse 9 particularly, I am the door. Verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And this is what I would like to spend some time, just a brief time this morning, focusing on these things. I am the door, says the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what does he mean by these things? What does he mean? Well, let us consider the applications that we can draw from such words. We all know what a door is. Of course we do. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the door. We know what a door is. I don't need to spend much time explaining that this morning. A door is an entry point. A door is the way into a place. It's the entry point for a building. It's the entrance to a room. That is the purpose of a door. Of course, we all know that. But why does the Lord Jesus Christ say he is a door? What does the Lord Jesus Christ give us entry to? If we enter in by the Lord Jesus Christ, where does this door lead to? What is the Lord Jesus Christ opening us up to? This is what we have to ask ourselves. Where does this door lead? The Lord Jesus Christ. What type of door is he? It's perhaps best to rephrase the question in such a way. Well, the first thing I want to set before you this morning is that the Lord Jesus Christ, he is a door of freedom. A door of freedom. That is what you enter into when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You are set free by the Lord Jesus Christ. You are not oppressed. You are not enslaved. That's what many people think in the world. You come to Christ, you come to Christianity. Well, it's an enslaving religion. No, it is not. You come to Christ, it's a door that leads to freedom. And that is very clearly implied in this verse, verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. What does that bit mean? He shall go in and out and find pasture. Well, again, we think of the shepherd analogy. A shepherd opening the door of the sheep pen, the sheepfold. He opens the door, and now the sheep are able to go out into the field. They are able to go out into the pasture. They are free. Before they were restricted in a sheepfold. Now Christ has opened the door. He is the door. And they are able to run and leap joyfully. That is what is meant here. This is a door of freedom. It sets people free. How are we set free by the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, we've spoken about these things so often, but let me just remind you this morning. Well, first of all, your mind is set free. When you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, your mind is set free. Before, your mind was limited. It was confined. It was narrow. All you ever thought about, all that you ever thought was important or that existed, was just the things of this world, material things, the here and now, day-to-day life. That's all you ever thought about. That's all that ever mattered to you. That's the confinement of your mind, the confinement of the mind of an unbeliever. They never think about spiritual things. They never think about the bigger picture. They never think about eternity. They never think about God. But when you come to Christ, well, your mind is set free. You are given spiritual life, as it were, and you are free to think about things you never thought about before, about heaven, about God, about the meaning of life, about why we are here. You never thought about those things before, but now your mind has been liberated. Now your mind has been set free when you walk through that door, when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And well, you are free to approach God. That's what you enter into when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You enter into a relationship with the true and living God. A relationship. Before, well, perhaps you might have thought that there was a God, but you didn't know him. You didn't know what he was like. You didn't know that you could have that relationship with him, that you could freely approach him, that you could pray to him and know his blessing and his guidance in your life. You weren't free in that respect at all. But now, when you come to Christ and you make mention of his precious name, as we always say, you have full access to God. You can pray to him no matter what your situation. You can freely approach him. There's no need for hesitancy. There's no need to delay. You have full and free access. This is freedom, access to God when you enter into that door. And well, you know that you are right with God. What a tremendous privilege that is. What peace that gives. What freedom that gives to know that you are right with God. That gives great freedom. What freedom does it give you when you know that you are right with God? Well, it takes away all your fear. You're set free from fears. You don't fear what life will throw at you. You don't fear any trial or tribulation because you know that God is with you. You know that you are right with God. No matter what happens to me in my life, God will be with me. God will pick me up. God will protect me. I'm right with him. I have faith in Christ. So I'm free from any fear. I don't fear anything at all. I certainly don't fear death. When you're in Christ, when you have entered into that door, you certainly don't fear death. Somebody who hasn't entered in, somebody who is an unbeliever, they fear death. Don't let them tell you otherwise. They don't know what's going to happen to them after they die. They are totally in the dark about these things. And when they think about meeting God, that is what happens when we die. That's what the scriptures tell us. When they think about meeting God, well, they're fearful. They know they're not right with him. But somebody who has entered in, who has come to Christ, we don't fear death at all. We know there's nothing to fear. We are right with God. And that has set us free from fear. We know that when we die, we will go to be with him. And that will be far better. Christ, he has set us free from all of these things, from death. And he has liberated our mind to think about eternal things, spiritual things. This, dear friends, is a door of freedom. And this is our first application this morning. We must walk through it. And as an extension of that, well, let me just put this to you also. It's a door of freedom, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a door of freedom, but he's also a door that offers free entry. Now, that's a slightly different point. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is a door that offers free entry. What do I mean by that? Well, I mean very simply, you don't have to pay. You don't have to pay to enter through this door. When you go to certain places, when you go to certain tourist attractions or leisure centers or ice rinks or so on, well, the door so often is a place of payment. You have to pay at the door before you get in. To gain entry, you must pay. But not at this door, not at this door, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's free to enter in, free to enter in to that access to God, free to enter into the kingdom of God, free to know that you are right with God. This is free entry, free admission. This is how we come, and this is a glorious thing. Indeed, well, we have to stress this. the only way that you can enter into the kingdom of God, the only way that you may come in is freely. That's the only way you can come in. Your payment, if you try to pay to enter into the kingdom of God, no payment will be accepted. Nothing that you can produce, at any rate. You try and get into the kingdom of God with your own works. Perhaps you think you're a good person. You look back at your life and, you think to yourself, oh, there was one day, one week when I was very good. And I did a lot of charity work and I helped that guy out and I helped this person out. I come to the Lord with my good works. Let me in. Let me into the kingdom of God. That's not good enough, dear friends. Your good works, they are not good enough. God is a holy God with a high and holy standard. Your good works cannot come up to that standard. Why not? Why can they not come up to that standard of God? Well, because of your sin. Your sin. God is a holy God, as I've just explained. He demands perfection, absolute perfection. If you want to enter into the kingdom of God, which is a holy place, you must be perfect with no sin at all. Not one. Have you committed sin? Even one sin is enough to disqualify you from the kingdom of God, to turn you away at the door. Just one sin. We've all sinned, dear friends, more than once. We may not admit it with our tongues, but within ourselves, our consciences, our very consciences, bear witness against us. We cannot possibly lie to ourselves and say that I've never sinned. I've always been good. Dear friends, we are sinners. If we try and approach God as we are with our works, we'll be turned away at the door. God demands perfection. And I have to add this, just in case some people are deluded about these things. Even if you get to the door and you show your religiosity, how religious you are, you know, that's not enough. I say this because there are some people who trust in how religious they are. There are some people who trust in their church attendance, for example. They say to themselves, I attend my church every week. That ought to be the way to God. They think that the door of their church building is the door to the kingdom of God. That's not the door. Christ is the door. Christ is the door. You must have faith in him. I fear that there are many people who are just churchgoers. They just religiously attend their place of worship. They sit in the pews, they sing the hymns, they give a little bit of money. They're very religious, but they don't have faith. They don't actually have faith in Christ. Dear friends, you must have faith. He is the door. It's not the local church building. That's not the door. It's Christ. Do you know him? Do you have faith in him? Have you entered into that door? Have you repented of all your sins? Your sins must be left at the door. You cannot take your sins with you. You cannot take the world in with you. Your lusts, your passions, all the things that you loved in the world, you can't take them with you as you enter through that door. Have you repented of all your sin? Do you hate all your sin? You must. You cannot take it with you as you enter into that door. Faith, repentance, this is what you bring. This is what will give you that glorious entry into heaven. Do you have faith, true saving faith in Christ? This is what you require, not simply religion, not simply your good works. It's Christ and faith in him. And then you will be granted that free entry into a glorious place. That's the door to heaven. But Christ, well, let me set something else before you this morning. Christ, he's a door to heaven, but Christ is a door that represents safety. Safety. A door of safety. We are safe when we enter into this door. When we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are safe. Safe from what, you may ask? Well, safe from the judgment to come. The judgment to come. Safe from the punishment for our sin. Now, I have mentioned many times over the last few weeks that this coronavirus is a judgment. It's a judgment upon the world. And well, we maintain that. The Lord has, in the past few months, shown the whole world that there are consequences for sin. There are consequences for sin. There are consequences for abandoning God. There are consequences for mocking God. There are consequences for ignoring and despising His word. There are consequences. This is what the Lord has shown to the whole world, a great judgment. He has stopped the world in its tracks. This is a great judgment. And what have we all done in the last 3 months to keep us safe from this judgment, from this virus? What have we all done? Well, we've stayed indoors. That's what we've done. We've gone into our homes. We've closed the door because that's the place of safety. Don't go out. Outside, you might catch the virus. The safest place for you is you go inside and you close the door. The closed door, it's safety for you. That is the safe place. But dear friends, this is how we are to apply the Lord Jesus Christ. This coronavirus, it's only a warning. It's a warning of a greater judgment to come. When we shall all stand before God, there is a day coming, the scriptures say. When we shall all stand before God, we will all have to give an account of our lives to God. Every single one of us, the living and the dead, we will all stand before God and He will judge the world for their sins. Dear friends, are you safe on that day? Will you be safe on that day? How can I be safe? How can I stand before a holy God with all my sins on show? The only way of safety is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the door of safety, the door that secures us. Why? Because He has taken upon Himself the punishment for our sin. That is what every Christian knows and believes. That is the faith of every believer. I know I am a sinner, and I know that if I stand before God, I will deserve to be punished, but Christ has taken the punishment upon Himself. He has suffered and died for me so that I may be forgiven, so that I know there is no condemnation for me. I can stand before God on that final day free from fear because Christ has died for me. He is my safety. He is my security. He has loved me and He has given Himself for me. This is the door of safety. This is the door of security. Dear friends, you must enter in by this door. You must enter in. I plead and exhort with anyone who has not entered in. That day of judgment will most surely come. Don't say it won't. Is there some people? Are there some people? You say to yourself, well, this is only relevant for people who believe in these things. This talk about a day of judgment is only relevant for those who believe. I don't believe in a day of judgment. I don't believe in all this rubbish, therefore none of this applies to me. Don't ever say that, dear friends. Don't ever say, I don't believe in a day of judgment. Just because you don't believe it, it doesn't mean that it won't come. Did you believe that there would be a coronavirus? This is one of the lessons we have to learn from what's happened in the last 3 months. One of the lessons we have to learn is just because you don't believe it doesn't mean it won't happen. Nobody believed that this virus would come so suddenly, so dramatically, encompassing the whole world. Every city and every continent will be brought to a standstill because of this virus. Did you believe that? No, of course you didn't. If I had preached that 5 months ago, You would have said, oh, he's insane. These crazy Christians don't know what they're talking about. But it happened. Just because you don't believe it doesn't mean it can't happen. Well, dear friends, we are preaching now. We are pointing out to you, this day will surely come. Just because you don't believe it doesn't mean it won't happen. You will one day see Christ returning. The living and the dead will one day most certainly appear before Christ, and the whole world will go into judgment then. Dear friends, you must enter in. You must enter into that door, the Lord Jesus Christ. Have faith. Repent of all your sin, and you will be blessed. Well, we must draw to conclusion. But one final thing I must say. If you knock at this door, it will always open. If you knock at this door, it will always open. You know, when we go out, and hopefully we'll be able to do so once again in the not too distant future, when we go out and knock on doors in this community, well, so often there's no answer. There's nobody at home. Or people don't want to answer to us. They've peeked through and they don't want to answer. But dear friends, that's never the case when you knock at the door of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you knock seeking salvation, when you knock seeking mercy, the door will always be open. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must come, knock at the door, seek the Lord, seek salvation and forgiveness, and it will open. And look at this last part, or rather the first part of this verse, but our last point this morning. Verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. If any man enter in, any man is invited. God invites everyone to come into the kingdom. Would you invite into your house any man? We are so fussy about who we allow into our homes, into our houses. We invite all our best friends. But there are some people we would never invite into our homes. That person is not stepping one foot into our house. That's so often our attitude. But that's not the attitude of God. Any man can come, dear friends. Anyone, no matter who you are, no matter how old you are. Are you an elderly person? You've lived your whole life without the Lord? You've never esteemed him. You've turned your back to him for so long. You can still come. If any man come, he will be allowed entry. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you a young person? Well, there's no age restriction. There are some places, many places in this world, you have to be a certain age to be allowed entry, but not into the kingdom of God. You can come no matter how young you are. You can seek the Lord and he will accept you in. Come and seek him. Are you a sinful man or woman? Somebody who has done terrible things in their lives. Some things that are too shameful to be mentioned. You are steeped with sin and you think to yourself, God will never accept me. God will never have any part with me. He's not interested in me. Look at the words of invitation. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. Any man. Come, dear friends. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Knock at the door. Confess your sins before God and believe that Christ has died for your sin. He has taken upon himself the punishment for my sin. He has washed all my sins away by his blood. So now I may come. I may enter freely into the kingdom. Lord Jesus, I come. Make that your word this day, make that your prayer, and the Lord will hear. The Lord will hear you knocking, and the door shall be opened. Dear friends, you must come before it is too late. This is my exhortation to you. I hope I have made this very clear. The Lord Jesus Christ, this week, well, we will see many people queuing up at doors, queuing up to get into shops, into supermarkets, into bookshops, into pubs. So many people queuing in to try and get in to those doors. What a sorrow it is. What a shame it is. What a tragedy it is that so few are queuing up to enter into the kingdom of God. Don't be like them, dear friends. This is what you need most of all. Make this your priority this week. I'm going to queue up. I'm going to knock at that door, the door that is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to enter into that door and know eternal peace and joy for my soul. May the Lord bless these things to each and every one of us. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, O Lord, how we thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the door. And Lord, if we enter in, O Lord, we know that we are saved. We know that we are forgiven. We know that we are safe from the wrath to come, from the judgment to come, that day that will surely come. O Lord God, help us to not be foolish. Help us, dear Lord, to heed the warning and to enter in, to press our way even into the kingdom with great urgency and with great seeking. O Lord, we commit all these things to Thee. Bless, we pray, move in the hearts of many and save souls. We ask all these things in our Saviour's name and for His sake. Amen. Well, dear friends, let us sing together our final hymn. It's hymn number 355. If you're using the hymn book, hymn number 355. Come, ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, joined with power. dear Lord, our gracious God, how we rejoice once again that thou art the God who receives sinful men. Oh Lord, whoever we are, whatever we have done, may we never be afraid to enter into that door that leads to eternal peace and joy. For Christ has made full atonement for us. He has loved our soul so well. May we be found in him on that great and coming day. We ask all these things in his name and for his sake. Amen.